The following podcast is provided to you free, as is all our content, at drhoffman.com. If you'd like to listen, help support Intelligent Medicine, and get great values by shopping at our supplement store, go to drhoffman.com and click on Shop, then click on the store. Thanks, and enjoy the podcast. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. We are talking about pregnancy and postpartum. You know, postpartum disorder is very prevalent, and it is devastating to both mother and child. It's bad enough for mom, but it also is not great for a kid when mom is not entirely present. And we want to try and head that off with some powerful tips from today's guest, Dr. Shoshana Bennett, known to her patients as Dr. Shosh. She's authored books on the subject, and she's here to tell us about how to get beyond the baby blues. Dr. Shosh, what are some of the strategies that we need to be considering?
Oh, I can't wait to jump into those. And I do want to really say that postpartum depression is a public health issue. And I'm so glad you mentioned in the intro how it can affect the rest of the family. You know, it can absolutely affect and does affect marriages. It can affect the partners themselves. They can become depressed also. It affects family, friends, the groups she belongs to, the workplace. So it's not a woman's issue. It's an everybody's issue. And the difference between the normal baby blues and the disorder of postpartum depression, it's important to know the difference. And often women will call me, and I'm glad they do. They'll contact me saying, I don't know, is this normal? Here's what I'm feeling. And so generally speaking, there are two ways to tell the difference. One is that the baby blues, which most new mothers feel, baby blues are mild. They don't feel great, but they're mild ups and downs, teariness, emotionality. But generally speaking, baby blues doesn't get in the way of the mother's functioning. You know, she's it's just a sort of an up and down, mild stuff, and it should be gone by about 2 weeks following the delivery.
And part of it is the physiology of the postpartum period, because you are just saturated in these pregnancy hormones, estrogen and progesterone, up till the end. And then all of a sudden, you go cold turkey on those, and whammo, it's almost like a mini menopause. And then for some women, I've noticed, their thyroid is off. And that's something we look at very closely. And so sometimes a proper intervention with a little bit of thyroid replacement can head that off.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yes, if I had my
way. Well, we want to help you therapists out. I mean, your job is tough enough talking to these people. You know, when your patient is physiologically depressed, all
that's
the talk in the world isn't going to make it go away.
And all the antidepressants in the world is not going to help her if there's an underlying thyroid issue. I mean, Hashimoto's thyroiditis is very, very common hypothyroid syndrome. That happens to about 10% of new mothers. It's enormous, and often they are misdiagnosed as having postpartum depression. I mean, certainly they can be depressed, but it's not treated the same way. Sometimes all it takes is some thyroid. So yeah, if I had my way, by about 3 months postpartum, you have to give the thyroid a chance, right? It's going to fluctuate up and down, hyper, hypo for a while, but it kind of settles down, would you say, about 3 months, Doc?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a period of turbulence. There's a sort of an endocrine turbulence that happens around then. You know, of course, there are major changes in weight as well, and you know, and then, then there's the issues related to body image and so on and so on. Lots going on.
Absolutely, but you know, if we can rule that out, at least, and I often suggest to my clients that they have a full panel thyroid test, not just free T4 and TSH, but you know, have the antibodies tested as well. But that could be a whole show in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the thyroid. Those are the main differences. Baby blues should be gone by about 2 weeks following the delivery, and it's mild. If it keeps going, even if the symptoms are mild, we now call it postpartum depression. So, you know, sometimes women will call me 8-9 months postpartum, and they say, you know, these blues just won't go away. and I'll let them know it's not blues anymore, and I'm glad they called because it's going to need some intervention. So postpartum depression, the severity of the symptoms certainly usually a lot worse than the blues, and it can happen immediately following the delivery, once that placenta, you know, is delivered. That's what happened with me, by the way, on both occasions.
So you've been there, done that. So some of your work comes through.
Oh my gosh, that's why I do this work.
This is not just theoretical.
I'm a special education instructor. Oh, no. I came from a, I was in two suicidal postpartum depressions after the birth of each of my children. If this can happen to me, because I consider myself to be very upbeat, very well grounded. I lost myself, and I did not know what happened. No, I taught at the community colleges in the San Francisco Bay Area as special education. That was my first field, and then I had a baby, and that launched me into this career. When I finally found out that there was a name for this and there was possible treatment, that's when I started to pioneer first Northern California, and then I was one of maybe a handful of people in the country who started to talk about this way back in the 1980s. Nobody was talking about this stuff back then. So postpartum depression, yes, it can happen immediately upon delivery, or it can be blues that don't go away, or a blues that then spiral down into a deeper depression. Usually about 3 months postpartum, it's full-blown, but it can sometimes arise any time during the first year postpartum, and often MDs, especially OBs, don't know that, and women will show up to their doctors and say, I don't know what happened. I just don't feel like me. And the doctors, unfortunately, will say, well, this can't be postpartum depression. Your baby's too old. That's not true. And I want your listeners to know that. So those are the ways you really tell them apart. So usually there's some anxiety. If anybody has a stereotyped image of what a depressed mother might look like, you can get rid of it, because she might be dressed well with makeup on and a smile on her face. You can never count on knowing what her mental health is unless you ask. You can't tell by watching, and some tragic things have happened by doctors and others assuming that she's fine because she looks fine.
That's that stiff upper lip philosophy where
And sometimes the more horrible she feels, the more she tries on the outside to make everything look good, including cleaning her house and straightening things. Because she doesn't want to let on. There's can be a tremendous amount of shame and also fear. I know I was afraid of telling anybody. I thought my baby would be taken away. And frankly, sometimes that still happens.
Wow.
So again, the take-home message is, when you're around a new mommy, ask her and be open to what she says. Some people are afraid to ask. They don't want to offend her. Even if they think something is going on, she's not herself. Ask. That's the most loving thing you can possibly do, is to say, how are you doing, really? How are you doing? And maybe she's fine. But just you checking in and knowing that she has a non-judgmental ear, somebody who will really be able to hear her. And it might be just normal new mom stuff, like, this is so hard and I don't know what I'm doing, But sometimes she really might be depressed or overly anxious or obsessive, or there might be some postpartum OCD.
I think there's a new element to add to this, because you were a busy professional and then you gave birth, and there're probably a lot of reasons why you had postpartum depression, but so many women these days are high powered professionals, and then they're moms. Now, dads become fathers, right? But they often, can maintain their identity in the workplace, to an extent that women can't, and sometimes that in itself is very jarring, isn't it?
And again, it depends on when I have to do that first intake. That's a very good point. That can be a major factor for nuance. It isn't always. Sometimes she absolutely loves that change, and she's been just dying to get out of the corporate life or whatever, so it's very individual. What is true is, if she just assumes that all the responsibility is on her shoulders. And sometimes the spouse is assuming the same thing. That's why it's really important to talk before the baby comes, because she's thinking, she can feel very resentful. It's like, well, wait a minute. When we're both at home, how come I'm the one giving the baby the bath all the time? You know, can we talk about this and renegotiate this unspoken contract? So it's true. Some women do feel that way, and it's part of the treatment plan to set up as part of the wellness strategy, really, to redo things so that she doesn't get lost in the shuffle. It's very easy to think, everything is about the baby now. My needs don't matter. Well, that is a recipe for disaster, because eventually she's going to burn out and she's going to be resentful, and it can impact the marriage, and it can impact her relationship with her child as well. So it's very, very important that if she's a stay-at-home mom, if she goes back part-time, full-time, that she keeps what's important to her alive and well. Mom's got to nurture herself. Primary caretaker needs to nurture him or herself in order to keep the family well.
We've talked about emotional support, and I think that, of course, that's crucial. But let's focus a little bit on nutrition and diet. Is there such a thing as an anti-postpartum depression diet? Can diet, or another way to put it is, can you induce postpartum depression with a certain diet?
Again, there's no absolute here. I mean, obviously, somebody can have a horrible diet and not suffer with postpartum depression. They can have a phenomenal diet and they can still need some help. But can it make an impact one way or the other? Absolutely. And the changes that I find, certainly going from the depressed to the feeling much better, sometimes it's truly dramatic, especially when adding the omega-3 fatty acids that we talked about in the first segment. But nibbling protein throughout the day, the right kinds of protein.
Maintaining optimal blood sugar, I find, is important.
That's it. Keeping the blood sugar even. Exactly. Could also help to keep the moods more stable. And moms often aren't feeding themselves. Focus is all about the baby.
Yeah. And then it's when you get the baby food and the kid food around, maybe you have a couple other kids and all they want to eat is like cookies and, you know, and you end up eating that kind of stuff, maybe not so good.
If you're depressed, you know, when our serotonin is low, what do we crave? We crave carbohydrates,
yep,
and, you know, the simple carbs, and
yep,
and sugar, which just prolongs the problem. It just keeps that cycle going. So yes, nibbling, I'd say every 3 hours or so. Like, eat as if you have diabetes. You know,
yes,
you keep nibbling to keep the. It's really a good way to eat, and so that's also very, very high on my list. Keeping very well hydrated with water, not only because you're trying to possibly have enough milk to feed your baby, breast milk, but it's also good for your mental health. Any dehydration can exacerbate anxiety. So those are some simple things. You know, also, if there's any anxiety, often, you know, our tummies feel like they're tied in a knot. You know, you can't count on the whole eat when you're hungry thing. Because often the body, number one, we're very busy, we're very distracted, but if there's anxiety or depression, often our body doesn't give us signals as to when our brain needs food. So I let my clients know, you know, don't count on your digestive system or your insides to tell you. You've got to feed your brain on a regular basis, even if that means setting a little timer.
As a corollary to that, you know, I think a lot of women are upset about all the weight that they gain during pregnancy. That's inevitable to some extent. And they want to get on a crash diet right after delivery.
Not a good idea. Yeah.
Probably not a good idea.
Not a good idea to get on any crash diet. Well, frankly, I don't think it's a good idea at any time.
Ever,
in
right.
Life,
but particularly then, right?
Absolutely. We you know, our bodies are doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. And we need that fat. We need it. You know, I worry about the women who run back to the gym and they're there a few hours a day, you know, because mm-hmm. they're trying to get their tummies flat, really.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Frankly, I mean, I remember, I can give a quick a story of when a couple showed up in my office. They were two weeks postpartum, she was dressed perfectly. Everything was great. The little baby had a little sailor suit on. I mean, everything was just, and the father, you know, her husband was so confused and said, "Dr. Bannon, I don't know why we're here. I mean, my wife is taking to this mom thing so well. She's working out in the gym all the time. I mean, two in the morning this morning, she was painting our kitchen." I'm thinking, 2 weeks postpartum, not normal. She also hadn't been sleeping for 2 weeks.
Right.
This woman was manic.
Yes. Yes, I was going to say, it's it triggered a manic episode.
Exactly. And sometimes, see, if anything is going to surface with mental health issues, typically it is going to surface during pregnancy or postpartum. We're at our most vulnerable for any of these disorders during the perinatal period. Now, she knew, thank goodness, that she had never had any bipolar disorder before. Sometimes the very first onset is postpartum. So she knew, at least, you know, something's off here. I haven't slept for almost 14 nights.
Right.
And she was going to crash. So she went directly from my office to the hospital. Thank you very much.
Yes.
And got some
proper treatment.
Help. But my point is, we give compliments often to moms who are running, you know, who are dropping the weight and getting to the gym and working out. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is the time to take a break, you know, recharge.
And our standards are so high because we see the pictures of in the movie magazines about the movie starlets who, like unbelievably, like 2 weeks after pregnancy, they're in amazing shape, and that's a very high bar to reach, and maybe that could create a little cognitive dissonance right there.
Of course it can, and some of those photos are probably Photoshopped.
Big time,
all. And
yes.
Second of all, somebody else.
They may even be file photos.
Right, but that certainly doesn't help, and we need to be nurturing and taking, you know, all in good time. That weight can come off,
And exercise does play a role in this, but exercise perhaps moderately and within the woman's natural capacity to recover from.
Yes, exercise is good. And again, we started to talk about this in the first segment. Certainly something, you know, and some moms are on bed rest, either during pregnancy or postpartum. They can still do some breathing exercises to oxygenate, you know, and to help their mental health and their physical well-being.
Because we know it generates endorphins, and it does have a positive effect on mood.
Exactly right. But if she can do some walking or getting outside or getting some light, you know, some good old natural light therapy, you know, in the morning, it can definitely have some natural way to raise serotonin. So even if it's a short walk, if she's feeling depressed and everything's overwhelming, then that is what happens. Things that used to feel very easy, everything feels overwhelming and too difficult. But at least she can take a short walk, pushing a stroller or with her husband or a friend by her side. So that absolutely can help. So the pieces of the basic wellness strategy are some nighttime, some hours of uninterrupted nighttime sleep to help her serotonin. Mm-hmm. And yes, even a breastfeeding mother can do that.
Yeah.
And I outline how in the Postpartum Depression for Dummies book, actually. So nighttime sleep, uninterrupted sleep, a few hours, and some kind of exercise. The emotional support, we talked about physical support, so that she's not alone and she gets breaks to recharge her batteries, to do things for herself. Excellent nutrition, and certainly if she's suffering, that she works with healthcare practitioners, whether they are psychologists such as myself and working with practitioners such as yourself, we can make a wonderful team for her, but she needs to work with the right professional. It's not okay just to settle for someone because they happen to be covered in their insurance. You know, you need specialized help during this particular time. So if you've been working with a therapist before, that might be a very good therapist, but if the person is not specifically trained, if the clinical expertise is not there for these perinatal issues, you really need to find somebody who is, whether it's me, whether it's one of my colleagues, and certainly get the physiological help as well, so you can move on with your happy life.
And should your husband be coming along?
I'm a big one for including the significant others.
It might not work without cooperation.
You know, it really depends on the relationship, frankly. If things are hostile, if she doesn't want him there, if he's resistant and he just doesn't want, you know, I'll say let it go. You're still going to recover without him. You know, what's important is that you understand what you need to advocate for and what you need to set up for yourself, mm-hmm. whether he's part of it or not. But typically, the husbands really want, they just don't know what to do,
right.
but they're very willing to do it.
So, yeah, ideally, they should be informed about some of these measures so that they can create an environment
absolutely.
That is helpful.
Absolutely. Yes, and sometimes it's the husbands who call me saying there's something off with my wife.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to talk about it. What can I do?
Or
she knows there's something wrong, but she's ashamed and she doesn't want to go there, and she gets all defensive when I bring it up. You know, so I'll help them help their wives. So we can, but whenever possible, and typically it is possible, whether I'm using webcam with them if they're around the world, you know, somewhere outside of my country or vicinity, or whether we're on the phone or in person. Yes, I encourage the spouse, the significant other, to be there for a few reasons. Number one, it's important that they get the information so that they can support their wives. But also, if they don't get proper help, they can suffer too. They can become depressed as well.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes women will call me saying, I'm doing fine, but I'm really worried about my husband. You know, if he has a history of depression, and it's a very stressful time when a baby comes and he's losing sleep because he's taking care of the baby at nighttime also, or whatever, he can be depressed. But if she is depressed, if she has postpartum depression, the general risk for a dad to be depressed is about 10%.
Hmm.
If she is depressed, his risk shoots up between 24 and 50% if he doesn't get good support as well. Because
wow.
he's trying to hold the family together. He's the pillar, right? He might be earning money for the family. He comes home. He's trying to take care of his wife. He's trying to take care of the baby, maybe chores around the house. There's a tremendous amount of pressure. So he's trying to hold it all together. When she starts to recover, what often happens, if he hasn't gotten proper help himself, you know, with good support and with nutrition and all that, then he can start to go downhill.
Okay, well, this sounds like a mental health prescription for the entire family, and, of course, implications for the child and their development, because we want both parents to be present. So, okay, what's today's Intelligent Medicine call to action? First of all, you've got some great resources. You're the author of Postpartum Depression for Dummies, Pregnant on Prozac, Children of Depressed, and co-author of Beyond the Blues, Understanding and Treating Prenatal and Postpartum Depression and Anxiety. Where can people get a hold of those? Do you have a website?
I do, drshosh.com. It's drshosh.com. And there's also information on the free app that anybody can download with tons of information on that as well. It's called PPD Gone, G-O-N-E. There's also information about Dark Side of the Full Moon. If one wants to go to that website directly, it's darksideofthefullmoon.com. I was executive producer of a film documentary that came out this year that really talks about, it's very inspiring stories on there, talks about the barriers to treatment in the U.S. and what we're doing about it. So there's really, I'd be so happy to hear from any of your listeners and with whatever questions. It's very easy to contact me through the site, voice messaging me straight through the computer or email or phone or whatever else.
Well, that's a great resource, drshosh.com. In addition, we want to reiterate, we mentioned it in part one, that there is also an offer from Nordic Naturals, which is via their website. You can get a free sample of Nordic Naturals. And that website is, let's see, let me find it here.
NordicNaturals.com.
And
yes.
Click on the free sample box in the lower right corner on the homepage, and you can sample some of the products.
Yes.
But a very reliable
Take
brand,
advantage.
And they have, and you know, there is just no excuse not to take fish oil. Some people say, well, I don't like the taste, or I can't swallow the capsules, they're too big. There's so many different ways that you can take fish oil. And then you can start your kids and infants on fish oil, because it's very important for their brain development. There's so many also pediatric forms of omega-3 that are delicious tasting, palatable, no yuck factor, and very safe and effective.
Exactly. There really isn't any excuse. There's so many different ways you can take the supplement. I agree, and it's so, so important. Take advantage of their free offer. My goodness, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Shanna Bennett. It's been delightful, and I think you've offered some information that could really make a big difference in the lives of many, many folks out there. And, I'm going to advise your books to my stepdaughter, and hopefully she won't have too much need to rely upon them, because she's been tanking up on fish oil, but who knows?
Good for her. There's a whole prevention chapter in the Dummies book, by the way. Whole prevention chapter. So thank you so much for the invitation and for your show.
Indeed. Thank you for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.